the new heaven and the new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be there with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Most of us know things change. Most of us like changes that we can control. Some of us push back against some changes that we can't control, but change happens. When I was a freshman in high school, I had to take a typing class, and we used typewriters. On the third story of our high school, there was a room that had probably 30 typewriters in it. And as freshmen, we had to take this class. We had to learn how to type correctly. I'm sure Mrs. Zimmerman has taught many how to do that correctly. But I'm not a very good typer. And I would get frustrated because I would make mistakes. And then I would have to pull out my little sheet of whiteout and stick it in and go back and type over my mistake. Or if there was a correction ribbon in it, I have to go back. And it was frustrating for me. But my sophomore year, we had to take a computer class. And gone were all of the typewriters, and there were two classrooms on the third floor of my high school that were full of new computers. And if I made a mistake while typing on a computer, it was much easier to correct. Things change. Things become different. We could say maybe they become new. In the passage that Michelle read this morning, John uses the word new several times. And the messenger, John the Elder of Revelation, John the Elder sees a new heaven and a new earth. And if we remember last week, John saw a new Jerusalem and a new temple. And he calls all these things new, but we may be misinterpreting that word new. The word that John uses denotes a change of quality or of essence. He's not referring to something that never existed before. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new temple, the new creation, these are changes in quality or essence, not something never in existence before. And John the Elder tells us, because he's told to tell us, that God is making all things new. God has been working in our lives to transform us. He is currently working in our lives to transform us. And he will continue to work in our lives to transform us, to make us from who we were into who he created us to be, to take advantage of using our gifts, our graces, our passions to bring about a clearer vision of who he is in our world that is so unsure of who God truly is. God is making all things new. The God that we worship, this God who loves us, who offers us ways to interact with him, He is a God of tenacity, a God of purpose, a God of diligence. Paul refers to God when he's writing to the Philippians. He says, God is the one who began a good work among you and will bring that good work to completion. John sees in Revelation that there is this new heaven that comes to the new earth. Not something that didn't exist before, but it's something that has been changed in quality and essence. These two realms come together and begin to coexist. God begins to live permanently with his people. God begins to live permanently in creation because he wants to be with his people. There are times in our lives when we celebrate different things. There are times in the year that we celebrate different things. And at graduation, at the end of school, we are reminded to take stock of where we are. Are we doing the things we should be doing? Are we where we want to be? I'm sure we could have our seniors come up and they would tell us some of the hopes they have for the coming year. Finally, I get out of mom and dad's rules. Don't have a curfew, maybe. There are things they're excited about. There are things they're hoping for. There are things that they're longing to do, wanting to do, and they just can't wait to get there. There are things that we're hoping for, we're longing for, we're wanting to do, we're just not there yet. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? And what's it going to take to get from where you are today to begin meeting those hopes and dreams? Not long ago, we made a lot of New Year's resolutions. When's the last time you thought about them? At the beginning of a new year, we put a lot of thought into this is going to be a new year, things are going to be different, and we have these hopes and these dreams, and we get excited about new things. But just a few months in, we may have even forgotten what resolutions we made, if we made any at all. What is it that we want to be different? Where is it that our hope is pulling at us? That maybe we're struggling following. What are our hopes for our families? What are plans that we made for ourselves that we haven't completed yet? What difficulties are we facing right now that we pray will be resolved, but we're not there yet? What might happen in our world in the next month, 6 months, 5 years? What about us as a church? What are our hopes? What are our dreams? What are the things that we're longing for God to do in us and among us and through us? What ministries might take place? Who might we serve? What new people might show up? What impact will we make in our community and in our world in the name of Christ? How will we grow in relationship with God? What will be new? What will be changed? What will be transformed? You may be getting tired of hearing that things are going to be different, but you're probably going to hear it several times. Things are going to be different because this chapter of your lives is ending, and a new beginning is about to take place. You might be comfortable with how things have been, and there may be a little anxiety of what's going to be. But one chapter ends, a new chapter begins. Something always has to end for something else to begin. Something has to stop so that something else can start. And in this new chapter that you're going to begin living into, it's not something that hasn't existed before. It's a change in quality. It's a change in essence. Your parents have poured into you up to this point. for them. They've got you to this point so that they can kick you out. Lovingly. But to launch you into who you are going to be as an adult. You've had teachers and coaches and people all over this community who have poured into you to help you become who you are. This church has poured into you to help you become who you are. And we look forward to seeing what God will do in you and through you, but we're not there yet. But it's not something new. It's not something that hasn't ever existed. It's a change in essence, a change in quality of being a teenager under your parents' authority, becoming a young adult who begins to make decisions on your own. You'll find yourself in new places. You'll be making new friends. You'll be finding yourself in a new community. Hopefully you'll find it in church. But there will be new opportunities for you as you begin this new chapter. Families, you're embarking on something new as well. It may feel like it's something that hasn't existed before, but it's a change in existence. It's a change in quality, a change in essence. Some of you are launching your last child. Some of you are launching your first. There are new opportunities. There will be new rhythms. There will be things that are different because they've ended one thing and they're starting something else. And we as a church are embarking on a new chapter of life as well. Rhythm of life, of beginning and ending, and beginning and ending. And it may feel like something that hasn't existed before, but it's a new thing, a new quality, a new essence as we face a future of being who God calls us to be. To be the hands and feet of God in our community, to live out our faith in a way that shows others who God is. Not this wrathful, vengeful God, but this God of love, who longs to call all of us into his presence and to offer us that living water that only he can give. The writer says, John the Elder says, that God is making his presence, his dwelling with us. He's living with his people. It's not something that we have to wait for at some point in time down the road. It's something that happens here and now as we live faithfully, as we follow faithfully after this God that loves us. And he continues to transform us. He continues to work in our lives to make us who he created us to be. To live out our gifts, to use our gifts and our passions to make this world look a little more like heaven. We read in Romans and in other places that because of sin, we are a sinful people. Because of sin, we do things that are hurtful to others. Because of sin, we're fallible and we are dead and dying. But the hope of the New Testament, the hope, the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope that is in Revelation is that as we are patient, as we persevere, as we wait for God to make all things new, he calls us into his service to be his hands and his feet, to not be sinful, but to be holy, not to be hurtful, but to be about healing, not to be dead for fallible and dead and dying, but to be full of life and give that life to others. As he pours into us, we pour into the life of others. So he makes all things new as he works in us and he works through us to make a difference in the lives of others. So things change. We go from wanting video games and Legos and Barbies and My Little Ponies to wanting and needing towels and blankets and things for our dorm room, things for our apartment, things for our house. We go from being an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, 20-something-year-old to getting married and starting our own families. And, and going from wanting dishes and cups and bedding to wanting playpens and onesies, and things change. Things are made new. It's not something that hasn't been in existence before, but it's a change in quality, a change in essence. And God is longing to do something new in us, individually and corporately, as His church. Will we be a part of working with Him, making things new? Or will we be a part of pushing back, slowing down that transformation God wants for us? I'm going to ask our seniors to come forward. And if one of you will be down at the end, one closer here and then one over here. We're going to pray for our seniors. I'll invite family to come up and stand behind your senior. Father, that you will use her to do something there. of them, and it seems like this is coming too quickly. We know that you are a God of truth and knowledge, that your wisdom has been with them, that you've been showing them your way for them. So this morning we ask that you bless Savannah and Colin and Annie as they finish this part of their life, as they finish high school and look towards college. We thank you for those who have taught them, who have worked beside them, who have coached them, who have supported them along this way. Walk with these graduates as they lead and move forward in life. Take away their anxiety, their confusion, and give them a purpose. Strengthen their many talents and skills and instill in them a confidence in the future that you have planned for them. May you use them for mighty purposes. May you work in them to bring about a newness for all people. We pray all of this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.